I would just take you through a guided headless meditation. Just start with your eyes open and be aware of your single eye. And let's do this gesture to remind us of the provisional view out and view in. I'm not sure there really is a view out and view in. You seem to go together. But anyway, provisionally, for the sake of communication, view out, view in. The view out is empty and still and boundless and all that. And the view out, you've got colours, shapes, including sounds, feelings, all of that. Okay, so just to articulate that, and I'm going to point out three things about the view, the visual view, and then we will go into non-visual and enjoy the ride. So first, observe somebody or something with, and just be aware of its boundary, its edge. You can draw a mental line around the window or a person or a foot, and all the way around that boundary are other things. It's within a larger context. It's surrounded by other things inside the room or inside something. And compare that with the whole field of view. So, well, actually, just for fun, just notice where, first before we do that, notice wherever you're looking is at the center of the field of view. And look somewhere else, and now that becomes the center. And we say that the first person, your true nature, has certain powers that are not granted to third persons. So one of the powers is you can make anything the center of the world. So you look at somebody or a window, and it's immediately the center. And the way that we, I think about this, is that your true nature is also known as king or queen or emperor or royalty, majesty, your true nature. It's unique. See? And if you've got a court, you're holding court with all your courtiers, with all your subjects, you see, and you want to honor one of them, in the court, you bring them forward in front of you. You say, you at the back there, I want to come forward and stand right in front of me, and I'm going to bathe you in the royal gaze. Mm. Bathe you in the royal gaze. For that moment, you are at the heart of my attention, the center of your world, my world, your world, you see. So just pick someone's foot. You've brought it forward. Everything else is in the background, a bit out of focus. And for this moment, you have this power to honor that. But it's right at the center. See? And then you move your attention somewhere else. That person, that object has gone back to the back of the crowd, and you've brought someone else forward. This is one of your powers, is to honor with your royal gaze. Now go back to observing that whatever you're honoring has a boundary and is set against the background. And then bring your attention to the whole view. And although whatever you're looking at is in the center, you can include the periphery, all the way to the periphery, which is gets vaguer and vaguer, I suppose. And be aware of the difference between the edge of the thing you're looking at that's inside other things and this boundary. That words really are inadequate. Does it have an edge? Does the field of view have an edge? Does it fade into nothing? In fact, it has no edge. And yet, somehow it's... Here we go into metaphor, because you cannot define it. So the whole view is floating in nothing. There's nothing around it. The object in the center has got things around it, things under it, things above it, the whole view. So if you find that my words are inadequate and don't quite, you know, you'd rather say it somewhere else, good. All right, so you just relax and take what you get from whatever I say. I find the whole field of vision, the whole view, is boundless, is not inside anything, it's uncontained. Now the second thing, the three things. The first thing, things are contained, the whole view is not. Second, that you can compare one thing within the view, its size, with another thing. Bigger or smaller, I suppose, or same size. You compare it. So just take two objects and just, you know, say that's bigger than that. It's as simple as that. And then you take your attention to the whole field of view and ask yourself, how big is the field of view? And there is not a second one to compare it with. It's single. There isn't a second view on the right or the left or underneath. It's single. So I cannot say how big it is. I can't say how wide it is. Or I could say it's as at this moment it's as wide as the room. But you might be travelling by train back, it'll be as wide as the train compartment. Or you look out the window, it's as wide as the landscape. Or you look up at night, it's as wide as the heavens. So, in different ways. It's single. Nothing incomparable, nothing to compare it with. So not inside anything, can't say how big it is. Third thing is, where is it? So you can say, well, that chair is a meter to the right of that other chair, and it's 2 meters below the ceiling, you see. It's relative. But when you look at the whole view, it's not to the left of something, or to the right, or underneath something. And as we found with the ruler, how far away is it? Well, there's nowhere to measure from. Anywhere you would measure from is within the view. It has no address, no postcode. So, not inside anything, can't say how big it is, can't say where it is. Now close your eyes. This is another power of the first person. You can make the room disappear. Open your eyes. You make the room reappear. So you can make anything the center of your world, and then now you can just demolish the room. There, close your eyes, just darkness now. You replaced it by this not uniform darkness, obviously. But keep your eyes closed now, and be aware of the darkness. And again, is it inside anything? And so you have to sort of go to the edge, if you can. And inadequate words, the darkness is floating in consciousness. There's nothing underneath it, nothing above it. I can't say how big it is, because there isn't a second to compare it with. I can't say where it is, how far away it is. There's nothing to locate it relative to. All right. Now be aware of your body sensations. And you just apply the same simple ideas. So your body sensations, it's useful to be able to just to put aside your learned image of the shape and size and location. And you might consider imagining you're a baby and you've just been born and you haven't opened your eyes yet. And this, it could well have happened, right? Certainly you were a baby. Or in the womb even, in the womb. So you're in the womb. You've no idea about how big you are, or what shape you are, or how old you are, or a name. You're not even human, I would say. You're just, but you are. You are. So if you can bring some of that ancient memory in you, just to encourage you to attend to your body sensations now, putting aside what you know, as if you're in the womb. See? And ask yourself, am I inside anything now? Going by my body sensation. It's going by my experience of myself now. See? If you go to your body sensation, is that field of sensation, that cloud of sensation, contained? In other words, are you contained, going by your sensation? Is there anything around you? Or aren't you floating in consciousness, held by consciousness? Without being able to say how big you are. There's nothing to compare your being with. Even if you go by your sensations, it's single field. Very freeing, very natural, and beautiful, I think. That's for you to observe what your response is. Where is this field of sensation, this cloud? Cloud is rather good because it gets away from the image of the body. It's amorphous, it's changing, floating. Even if you go to the sensation we call yourself sitting on the chair, it's a memory. It's a useful idea. But let's say you've just been born and you put on a chair. Haven't even opened your eyes yet. It's not a chair. It's not your body on the chair. Just a sensation floating. And you're totally safe. You're breathing. Part of that. And of course you can hear sounds going on. So to divide into darkness and sensations and sounds is artificial. It's all happening together. But just for the sake of communication, provisionally looking at different aspects, but they're all aspects of the same mystery, I say. And the sounds are changing. And for the sake of communication, it's a field of sound. And that's from the loud ones to the very quiet ones, the distant ones, you could say. The tinnitus, the things you say are inside or outside, doesn't matter. In fact, can you find a boundary between inside and outside? If you take, for example, the sounds. So the sound of Richard, you would say, is outside, socially. And something like tinnitus or something like that would be inside, but I don't find a boundary. They're both happening in consciousness, in this silence. And the field of sound, if I can put it like that, does it have a clear boundary? Isn't it floating or happening or occurring in the silence? Very inadequate words for your experience. I believe your experience is basically the same as mine, but your way of describing it will be different. But one thing I like about sounds is that you can say the sounds, where do they come from? You can say, well, they come out the silence. Magic. Don't know how. And they go back in the silence without disturbing the silence. But this I find rather inspiring because it means that the silence is not dead, it's not unproductive. It just can't stop making sounds. It's bubbling over with sounds. Whatever sounds. It's a creative, fertile, productive nature. Your nature is creative, always, effortless. And you could apply that then to the darkness. The darkness is coming out of this mystery. It isn't even dark. And the sensations are happening in or bubbling out of or whatever from this abyss, mystery. And you can include your thoughts and feelings. So think of a number. Where did that come from? Where did it go? Think of a tree. How do you do that? Magic. No mind comes up with mind. And I find that the reactions throughout the gathering do not affect my nature. They come from there. All your reactions, all your interactions, all your experiences, I say, coming out of this mystery that you are, that we are, which where there are no divisions, no names, no nationalities, always here. And I've guided you through the different aspects, eyes open, eyes closed, darkness, sensations. Just in general terms, how big are you? What are you? Who are you? Impossible to say. And for the next couple of minutes, no need to direct your attention to any particular aspect, but rather enjoy not directing your attention consciously. If you find you do, that's fine. Just be the space and notice whatever presents itself, like appearing in front of royalty, something like that. Might be a thought, then a feeling, back to a sound, to sensation, doesn't matter. Take a deeper breath. And recreate the room. Open your eyes. And be aware of the one space, the equivalent of the no head circle without having to stand up. Just aware of the circle of bodies in your headless space. Nothing you don't have to look anywhere in particular or think anything in particular.